From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 17th day of July 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians from the top five corn-producing states in the nation will be here to update conditions across the Midwest, and we'll hear about a young man who's been walking across America. I ran into him in Watseka last Wednesday. I think you'll get a kick out of the story. He's still in the state of Illinois, making his trip across the United States 25 miles at a time. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Mark Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, holding a short-term and medium-term outlook meeting on commodity and financial market results, July 25th at 6 p.m. at the Arcola Community Service Center and July 27th at 7 a.m. at Yoder's in Arthur. Meals will be provided, reservations required. 866-471-2588.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat finished a penny and a quarter higher on its close at $8.85 3/4 in the September contract. December at $8.97 1/2, we're down a quarter in July of 2013 at $8.41 1/2, a half of a cent higher. The hard red in Kansas City finished off the nearby September at $8.94 1/2, a dime higher. From Chicago in the corn pit, $7.78, a final price on the day, a penny and a quarter higher. That, of course, is a close and not a settlement price. Those finished up at 2 o'clock Central Time. December futures at 7.69 3/4, down 2 3/4. The March at 7.70, 2 1/2 lower. And the May corn, 7.67 1/2, unchanged. July futures, 7.64 3/4 on the close, up 6 1/4. And September contract, 6.70 1/4, up 1/4 cent. That for 2013. December futures of next year, 2013, at 6.36 3/4, down 2 cents for the day. August soybeans at $16.38 1/2, up 4 3/4. September at $16.11, a penny and a half higher. In November beans at $15.92, your new crop harvest month, up 1 1/2. January futures were down 1 1/2 at $15.33 3/4. In the May contract at $14.78 1/4 in the soybeans, down 0.75 cents. July at 1 1/2 lower, $14.70 1/4 a bushel. August bean meal up $7.20. August bean oil 48 cents lower on the day. Mercantile exchange finished the October live cattle 57 1/2 cents lower at $119.97 1/2. The September feeders at $137 were down $2.15. And October lean hogs today, $77.67 1/2, down $1.52 1/2. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, August contract, $89.06 a barrel, up 63 cents. Ethanol at $2.69 7/10. That's 2 8/10 cents of a higher. And natural gas at $2.80 1/10 cent, unchanged. Heating oil for the day, that's diesel fuel at $2.84 3/10 cent, a penny and a half higher. And the gold futures on the afternoon, down $2.10 at $1,589.10 an ounce. The U.S. dollar at 83.03, down 0.06 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny today, hot, a high of 98 degrees on a southwest wind at about 10 miles an hour. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those should come before 10 o'clock this evening. Partly cloudy and a low of 74 degrees. Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. After one, partly sunny and hot, a high near 97 degrees. And then as we look forward to Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high of 92, light winds, and they'll be variable in direction. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 71. Friday, sunny and 87. Friday night, mostly clear and 68. Saturday, sunny and 89. Saturday night, clear and 68. Sunday, sunny skies and 92 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear and a low of 71 degrees. And on Monday of next week, mostly sunny skies, a high near 92. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast as we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. Right here on the Closing Market Report, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. It was kind of a quiet day in Chicago on this afternoon, and I'm wondering just exactly why it is that things didn't seem to move very much for the day, and I'm actually thinking that Wayne's probably not with me, or if he is, he's not there so that I can hear him. Well, as I look down at the board, I guess I'm going to have to make the phone call again because I don't see anything that's in the wrong place. So we'll talk to Wayne in just a moment. Give me a second, and I'll bring him right back to you.
Support for today's support comes from Global comes Commodity from the Analytics and Consulting, holding a short-term and medium-term outlook meeting on commodity and financial market results, July 25th at 6 p.m. at the Arcola Community Service Center and July 27th at 7 a.m. at Yoder's in Arthur. Meals will be provided, reservations required. 866-471-2588.
How about Wayne's there now? Hi, Wayne.
Here we are.
Yeah. So, Wayne, tell me what it is that made things so quiet today.
Well, I think, we punched up against that all-time high with the September corn last night. We backed off a little bit there early in the morning, and basically we had a little bit of profit-taking because we went up against that old long-time high there in the September contract. Number two, I think, there's people looking out there and just saying, I've rode this a long time and I want to get out before it's over. And we saw some profit taking by some of the funds. The other thing is the GFS weather model, continues to possibly show. And you were talking about some showers maybe coming across Wednesday and Thursday here, and with the possibility of a little rain coming at us. But all in all, it just is a declining crop, and nobody's talking about enough rain coming in.
Well, in the soybeans, I'm wondering just a bit, are we looking at the same sorts of things where we've made new all-time highs actually there, as opposed to the corn where we're just bumping up against it? And soybeans set back on that, and maybe I'm just not reading the weather forecast right, but with more rainfall potentially in the next week, and maybe you're hearing something different, traders are a little hesitant to continue to push the soybeans higher.
I think that, right, we have a little more time to get a rain for the beans. If a good rain would come along the end of this week and a little more rain next week, why, we could maybe be stabilizing that crop. There's also the fact, and it's very much being talked about out there, is, will Washington intervene to reduce the demand some more? Will they reduce the ethanol mandate to allow more corn for the livestock industry? Some are saying it's going to happen probably. Others are saying they won't act unless the yield drops below 130 and the prices rally closer to $9. But it is an election year. Expensive food is not a popular thing if you're trying to stay in office.
What are the other possibilities to curb demand for corn? What kinds of things could happen in your mind beyond an ethanol mandate change?
Well, of course, we're hearing lots of herd liquidations of beef cows coming back on stuff like that. The RINs could be used with the ethanol, so we wouldn't maybe, they wouldn't need to buy as much to blend on in to meet the mandate for this next year. Like I say, we're looking a lot at some corn coming in from Brazil and into the North Carolina area for some of the processing that way. And, those are some of the things we can see off the bat. Of course, in exports, as the price goes up, 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 we're going to see people using wheat or other alternative products. So, we are in the midst of demand destruction here right now, or demand pushing back because of price. So the price is going to do a lot. High prices are the cure for high prices.
Well, and if that's the case, do producers need to act on the market in any way if they possibly can?
Well, there's some things as we're looking here, and it's hard to say. Are we near the top? Do we still have 50 cents or a dollar to go? All big questions out there that I don't know the answer to for sure. But, puts look very expensive, but there's two things going on right now, Todd. They were talking about, and we did on Saturday or Friday on Commodity Week, we talked about putting some puts in place to protect your insurance payment also, in case that we would get some rains, stabilize, and go down for later, and the fall price wouldn't be as high to pay off. Also buying puts now for the potential production that we should have.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joined us on a Tuesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop progress report. It showed that as of July the 15th, around the nation, 71% of the corn crop had silk. That compares to the 36% rolling five-year average. 12% of the crop nationwide is in the dough stage. The rolling five-year average is 4%. Condition of the crop, not so great. 50% was in good condition last year. This year, just 27% in good. Excellent this year, pegged at just 4%. Really bad or very poor at 16%. Poor at 22%, and fair at 31%. Soybeans blooming now set at 66% nationwide, compares to 42% on the rolling five-year average. Setting pods at 16% compared to 9% on the rolling five-year average. And this year, 34% of the soybeans are good to excellent condition. That compares to 64% last year. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is LaTravis Brazil, crop weather statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistical Service, our field office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July the 15th, 2012. Both corn and soybean crop condition deteriorated as above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation continued to take a toll. Although our received scattered showers during the week, the bulk of the week was dry and sunny. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 2.5 degrees above normal. Topsoil moisture declined to 92% short to very short, while subsoil moisture fell to 89% short to very short. South Central Iowa is the driest with 99% of the topsoil moisture rated short to very short. The corn condition rating at 36% good to excellent declined 10 percentage points from last week, with 87% of the crop at or beyond the tasseling stage and 74% of the crop silking. Reports show corn has reached the dough stage in each district. 74% of the soybean crop is at or beyond the blooming stage, with 38% of the crop graded good to excellent, down 10 percentage points from last week. Less than 10% of our pasture and range land is rated good to excellent. The heat continues to cause stress for livestock, with some death being reported. This is LaTravis Brazil reporting from the USDA NAS, our field office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions. Statewide, there was little relief for drought-stricken Illinois as temperatures averaged 78 degrees, which was 2 degrees above normal. Rainfall accumulations were also once again reported below normal at only 53/100 of an inch, which translates to 31/100 of an inch short of normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, July 15th. There were a total of 6.8 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies showed another decline to 73% very short, 15% short, and only 2% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile came in at 70% very short, 26% short, and 4% adequate. Corn development continues to be stunted by hot, dry conditions, with many fields across the state turning yellow, an event which normally does not happen until mid-August. Corn in the silk stage was reported at 93% compared to 52% 1 year ago and 53% for the five-year average. 20% was reported in the dough stage, and this compares to 3% last year and 6% for the five-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in only 11% good or excellent condition, down 8 percentage points from last week. Soybean blooming advanced to 70% compared to 37% a year ago and 42% for the five-year average. 15% of the crop was setting pods compared to 7% last year and 8% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 17% good or excellent condition, down 3 percentage points from last week. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in the Nebraska Field Office with a crop weather report for the week ending July 15th, 2012. Dryland crops and pastures continued under stress due to hot and dry conditions blanketing the state. Irrigation remains active. However, some producers using surface water supplies were required to stop pumping due to low river levels. 70% of the corn crop was silking, and nearly two-thirds of the soybean crop is blooming. Corn rated at 43% in good to excellent condition, well below 82 last year and 79 average. Soybean conditions rated at 34% in good to excellent condition, well below 81 last year and 77 average. The first fields of sorghum were heading out while wheat harvest neared completion about 3 weeks ahead of average. Hay was being cut from roadside ditches and producers were considering use of CRP acres for forage. With the declining conditions, some livestock are being removed from summer pastures to dry lots or are being sold. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Hello, this is Mark Gutierrez, Agricultural Statistician with the USDNS Minnesota Field Office. The warm weather stretch continued this week, and below-average precipitation was received. The southwestern part of the state remained dry, while some central areas of the state received over an inch of rain. As of July 15th, topsoil moisture supplies were rated 47% adequate to surplus, down from 60% the previous week. Condition ratings for both corn and soybeans remained primarily good, however, reporters noted the lack of significant rainfall stressed some fields. Corn condition was rated 2% very poor, 7% poor, 24% fair, 56% good, and 11% excellent. Soybean condition was rated 1% very poor, 8% poor, 26% fair, 57% good, and 8% excellent. 77% of the corn crop was silking and beyond, compared to 8% last year and 23% for the 5-year average. Corn was 5% in the milk stage. Soybeans were 80% blooming, compared to 28% last year and 40% for the 5-year average. Soybeans were 17% setting pods, compared to 1% last year and 4% for the 5-year average. Range and pasture condition was rated 70% in fair to good condition, compared to 78% fair to good the previous week. This is Mark Gutierrez with the USDNS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is a crop progress and condition report for the week ending Sunday, July 15th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 2.16 inches in some localized areas. Severe to exceptional drought has spanned across 80% of the state, with only some northwestern and southeastern areas in slightly better condition. Farmers in 55 counties now qualify for assistance after the Farm Service Agency declared 36 counties as natural disaster areas and extended assistance to an additional 19 counties. FSA will also allow livestock producers in 22 counties to graze CRP land, but producers will need to obtain approval before they put livestock on those acres. 79% of the corn acreage has silked, compared to 39% for the 5-year average. Pollination is a real concern for farmers because of the heat and extremely dry soils. Condition of the corn crop continued to decline and is now rated only 8% good to excellent, compared with 53% last year at this time. 64% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared with 26% last year and 36% for the 5-year average. 12% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared with 5% for the 5-year average. Soybean condition also fell further and is now rated 11% good to excellent, compared with 53% last year at this time. Spider mites are becoming more of a problem in several soybean and some cornfields were sprayed during the week. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress and condition. Now up next, last week on Wednesday, I was in Watseka, Illinois, and happened to be riding my motorcycle, which was kind of an interesting and fun trip coming back from Purdue and the Top Farmer Crop Workshop. What made it more interesting was that as I was on my way into Watseka, I passed by a young man. I didn't know it at the time, but a young man walking along the side of the roadway with a sign on his back that said, New York to California. I just couldn't resist. So I stopped and asked him what he was doing.
My name is James DiGiovanni. I'm walking from New York to California. Today's day 61. Yep, day 61. And kind of just doing it to see the country in a unique way, 25 miles at a time, meet people along the way, and see what the country's really like.
What prompted you to do this, James, and how old are you?
I'm 24 years old. I just turned 24 a week ago today. And I've driven around the country a lot. And to me, when you're driving around, you kind of get enclosed in your car, usually stay on the interstates, you only stop at rest stops or gas stations. And that's, to me, that's no way to really see the country. So I think this will be my opportunity to take 6 months and really take my time while I don't have all the commitments like a wife and a mortgage and kids and car payments and that kind of stuff, and kind of take my time across the country and really see what people are like.
What did you do for a living?
I just finished a master's degree in moral and political philosophy. So I finished that up in early May and took off right away. Within a week of finishing the program, I was on the road walking.
What's the most unique experience you've had in the 61 days?
It's just been the people over and over. Just last night, I was invited into somebody's house, and instead of having to sleep outside of my tent, I got to sleep on a nice, comfortable couch, and I was given breakfast and a shower and that kind of stuff. And it's just, I continue to be amazed every day by the generosity of the people that I come across.
How long do you expect? You expect this to take 6 months, so you're 2 months into it now, and you're about a third of the way across.
Yeah, I left on May 12th, so I'm kind of shooting for November 12th as the six-month point. And if all goes according to plan, I'll be swimming in the Pacific Ocean by November 12th at the latest.
Tell me about what you're wearing, your gear, and your cart.
I'm wearing what most people think is clothing that's far too warm, but it's actually long sleeves, gloves, a flap to cover my neck, that kind of stuff. This way, the only thing that's really exposed to the sun is my nose sticking out. This way, it's all good, kind of sweat-wicking, lightweight material, a light color, especially on a hot day like today and with how high it's been over the last week. Really important to have the right clothing. And all of my gear, rather than have it on my back, you can imagine 100 degrees out, what it would be like to have 50 or 60 pounds on your back. Instead, I have what is really a modified jogging stroller with a couple of Rubbermaid bins on it. One bin that I keep filled with food, and the other bin I keep filled with your basic camping equipment, tent, sleeping bag, some clothes, that kind of stuff.
You have a website. How are you able to keep it up while you're walking along?
Yeah, I do have a website, jameswalking.com, and I have my iPhone with me so I can update the website and make sure my friends and family know I'm alive and that I'm doing well and that kind of stuff.
You spend the night in hotels or on the street?
I avoid hotels as much as I can. There's sitting in a hotel room by yourself is no way to meet people. So at the end of the night, whenever my feet get tired or hours after my feet get tired, I'll knock on somebody's door and ask if I can pitch my tent in their yard. And people have been amazingly receptive to it. I barely get anybody saying no. And very often I'm also offered dinner or breakfast or a shower or laundry or a place to sleep inside. I've been really impressed by how generous people have been.
James, good luck.
Thank you very much.
If you'd like to check out where James is today, his last check-in, by the way, was in Peoria. That was a couple of days ago, so at 25 miles a day, he should be about 50 miles to the west of Peoria. You might find him along the roadside, say hi, and offer up some hospitality. You can find James and his map at jamesiswalking.com. In just a couple minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is the closing market report from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Corn Fritters Day. A fritter is any kind of food coated in batter and deep fried. The origins of the corn fritter are murky at best. The Boston Cooking School Cookbook of 1918 had a recipe for corn fritters. On this day in agricultural history, in 1704, John Kay was born. An English machinist and engineer, he invented the flying shuttle power loom, which was an important step toward automatic weaving. But at first, his invention was not appreciated by weavers who thought it would steal their jobs. Ultimately, he was forced to flee from England to France. In 1907, Orville Redenbacher was born. an American agronomist, Redenbacher founded the gourmet popcorn business. In the 1940s, he and a friend, Charles Bowman, experimented with corn hybrids from Purdue University, the forerunner, decades later, of gourmet popcorn. By the way, Redenbacher once appeared on To Tell the Truth, where he stumped the panel. And in 2004, the city manager of Key West, Florida, fired its official chicken catcher. Armando Pera was hired to catch and relocate some of the more than 2,000 wild chickens that roam this small city island. But Key West City Fathers did not feel he would meet his contract quota to relocate 1,000 chickens by September. And so Pera was given the axe. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to look at the weather forecast. It's been really dry, Don. Can you promise any rain at all for any place across the Midwest in the next week or so?
Well, I will say that I am cautiously optimistic that our fortunes are going to get a little bit better. Now, it's not going to be all at once. We don't want it all at once. But it does look like the combination of a slight shift in the weather pattern and a semi-permanent area of low pressure over the northeast United States will allow a bit of a frontal boundary to set up shop over the nation's midsection that is going to be an area of more active shower and thunderstorm activity. We're going to see spotty activity here over the next 2 or 3 days. Looks like Iowa could have some really good chances for precipitation, as well as portions of western and northern Illinois. Southern areas of the Great Lakes have some pretty good chances for thunderstorms come Thursday and into Friday. That will then go into the eastern Corn Belt. So the prospects for rain are looking better. It's going to be a series of small systems spaced about 2 days apart that we're going to be looking at. And this all gets started late this week and carries forward into next week.
That is good news indeed. Once that begins the process, do you think it's a change in habit for the weather, or will we return to hot and dry?
I think it is a change in habit. I think we're going to find that June will end up being a lot hotter than July. The extreme month looks to be that this past month of June. Things look to be trying to settle into a more normal pattern. It's just going to take a while. We need a week or two before that gets up into place. The area that is showing up as a persistent dry area that I think we'll probably start focusing our attention to in the next week or two will be Kansas, Oklahoma, portions of northern and central Texas, and Nebraska. That is an area that is in a position under the high pressure to be the driest, while we're going to see the rains picking up in the northern plains and many areas of the Midwest.
And then a little bit closer to home for you, there have been some wildfires out west. Much relief in terms of rainfall and conditions that might keep those wildfires from springing up?
Yes. In fact, in the last 10 days, the pattern has been a lot more favorable for helping to fight fires and in some instances put them out. Many areas of the Rockies, the central and southern Rockies especially, have received some good rains and will get more.
Okay, and one last thing, because I follow you on Twitter and you keep us up to date a lot on the fire conditions there. How can people follow you on Twitter? What is your Twitter handle?
Balloon WX. So it's BALLOONWX.
Balloon Weather. Thank you so much, Don, for taking the time with us. That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks to him for joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon for the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.